each position plus two wild cards and two coaches to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, the Boston Celtics all-time all-stars, the best players at each position for the C's, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. This will be the year of the energy guy for the Boston Celtics. Why Jeff Teague didn't start, and a tribute, an important one to me, on this Thursday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the show. I'm John Corrales, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's a Monday through Friday show, so thank you for making it part of your daily routine. For those of you who are new, you can subscribe and get this podcast delivered directly to your device every Monday through Friday. On today's show, I have determined that this year will be the year of the energy guy, and I'm going to talk about that right here in segment one. In segment two, I'll talk about a couple of other things, including the Jeff Teague thing and why he didn't start. And that's part of my appearance on 98.5, the Sports Hub, on Tuesday night. I will share with you that entire appearance. And then in segment three, a tribute to a person who was very important in my life and who we lost suddenly this week, one of my former college coaches, Bruce Seals, who was just an absolute legend in the city of Boston. And I'm going to get myself together and say a few words for him in the third segment. But let's start here with my thought here on the importance of the energy guy this year. And I was struck by it by a couple of things that Brad Stevens said. And I was going through the quotes here. I'm thinking, like, what am I going to talk about here in this podcast? I'm reading through what Brad Stevens said. And one of the things that he said that he saw in the film, he said, "We saw last night several times where we fell short of a standard with regard to pace and execution, screening, cutting, playing off one another, and we ended up with bad possessions. We ended up with long periods of ISO." Okay, that's not surprising. The first preseason game, you have hardly had a chance to practice. This is something that, not surprising. And then Brad Stevens was asked about Javonte Green, and he says, "Regardless of whether he starts or not, we need his energy. You can get points off of cutting. He can get you points off running the floor, get you points off corner crash rebounds. Then obviously he's improved in shot. He can shoot the ball when open. But those first three things, those first three areas are energy effort plays that are great any time of the game." And just reading that again and hearing him speak about it earlier, it really stuck out and makes me think that in this season, we're sitting here waiting to see, does Aaron Nesmith hit shots, and does Peyton Pritchard, what does he have? All important things. And what's Jason Tatum adding, and what's Jaylen Brown going to add? All important things, very important, but also super important for this team this year are the energy guys, because everything is condensed and there is going to be an opportunity for somebody off the bench to come in and change the energy of the game. We've seen that happen before a few times. I remember Robert Williams doing it very notoriously, it was a couple of seasons ago in Miami. The Celtics were just kind of blah, and Robert Williams came in and changed the entire tenor of the game. It's happened a few times here and there. I have a feeling that this year it's going to happen a whole lot more often. And it's going to be something that is just a lot more important. Condensed schedule. Minutes that the Celtics are going to try to limit. Stretches where the talent on the floor may not be the best talent the Celtics have. Energy is going to be much, much more important for the Celtics this season. It's going to be supremely important. These guys off the bench, Javante, Romeo Langford when he gets back, Grant Williams if he's coming off the bench, Aaron Nesmith when he's got a chance, Peyton Pritchard for sure. The guys off the bench that have the ability to change the energy of a game. Robert Williams can do it. Those guys are going to have to come in and perform extraordinarily well for these Boston Celtics this year. There are going to be times when the team that you're facing is going to be tired. Games are going to be won and lost simply by energy. Games are going to be won and lost by one person or two people on one team coming in and really just outworking the other team, because both sides are going to potentially be facing these short turnarounds, these crazy travel schedules, the pressures on these teams from COVID testing to travel to where do you go when you're on the road? Are there places? Are you going to be allowed to eat indoors? Where are we getting our food? All of these different things that are going to be challenges for teams on the road, traveling to new cities. They're going to come in and they're just going to be like kind of blah. And there's an opportunity for an energy guy to come in and change the dynamic of a game. So when you look at the Celtics and who they're going to be counting on, yeah, then Javante Green starting suddenly makes a lot more sense. I mean, obviously Marcus Smart's going to be a guy who does that from the starter's perspective, but these guys like, I mean, Semi Ojeleye is going to have to try to be that guy. Peyton Pritchard, obviously, you saw the energy that he had. But Javante, Robert Williams, the guys that come in with their athleticism flying around. Can Carson Edwards be some of that? I mean, I don't know. But I'm looking at all of these guys, and I'm thinking, that's your opportunity. This is your spot. This is the thing that you can do that gets you more minutes this season. These guys aren't going to be playing a ton of minutes. The starters, they're not going to be playing a ton of minutes. The condensed schedule, Brad Stevens is not going to, he's just not going to overtax these guys. You're not going to see Jason Tatum playing 38 minutes a game. You're just not going to. It's not going to happen. Same with Jaylen Brown. Maybe 34, maybe 35. You can ramp them up later on, but Brad Stevens is not going to risk those guys playing too many minutes. Opportunities are going to be there. High energy, flying around the floor, backdoor cuts, crashing the boards, those corner crashes, everything that Brad Stevens said there. That's going to be what gets these guys minutes. It's going to be what gets the Celtics maybe a few more wins. An energy guy like Javante could be the difference between a 2-point win and a 4-point loss. Like, that's going to be really, really important this year. So much more important than past years, because they're just going to get more opportunities. We'll see how it plays out. But I'm telling you, all of a sudden, the Javante thing, you're like, oh, okay. I kind of see it. I kind of see it. And you know what? It might not be Javonte for long. Might be somebody else. Javonte very well could get cut during the season because the Celtics are getting somebody with the trade exception and he's got a non-guaranteed salary and they need to fill the, you know, they need to create a roster spot. And they're hard capped. So Javonte's in the crosshairs. Sorry. But this season is unique and there are going to be unique players that make a difference. And that's going to be how they do it. I get more into the first preseason game and some takeaways on the Adam Jones, Christian Arcand show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm going to share that entire thing next. So grab a Built Bar, chill out, and have a listen. Because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. If you're listening in the morning and you're looking for something to eat for breakfast, this could be a great meal replacement. It could be something to have a snack on during the day at work. Or, as I like to have them, after a workout. Because they're low calorie, they're low sugar, but they're high protein and they're high fiber. They come in 18 delicious flavors. If you've got a nut allergy, no problem. There are plenty of options for you as well. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They've got a ton of different flavors. If you like something like cookies and cream, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs. That's for cookies and cream? That's insane. You can try a bunch of their flavors. They've even got candy cane flavor out for the holidays. So go check it out and use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. You're going to get 20% off your next order. Even if you've used that promo code before, go ahead and use it again. That's the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Betting on the NBA or the Boston Celtics doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. On Tuesday night, I was invited onto 98.5 The Sports Hub with Adam Jones and Christian Arcand to talk about the preseason game that we saw, something about the Brooklyn Nets on Friday, and a little bit more. So here is my appearance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coming up as well, but joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, John Corrales of Mass Live. And John, let's start with, your biggest takeaway from the preseason opener last night. I know it's just a preseason game. I know it's relatively meaningless at the end of the day, but it's all we have to go on right now. So what was your big takeaway? You're covering it. You're watching it. You're assigned to do that for a reason. So what was your takeaway from it?
My takeaway is that it's only a preseason game. There's not much to take away from it. It's really tough because, you know, we watched like Jason Tatum just kind of play his normal game. We saw, I think, Jaylen Brown maybe try to isolate a lot. Brad Stevens earlier today was like, yeah, some of our offense devolved into a lot of ISOs. So I came out of that game thinking, well, maybe he was trying to work on something, but no, the timing was off. And so it's going to be difficult for them to incorporate all of these new players. And I would even consider, like, Javonte Green's not a new player, but he's a new player with that starting lineup. Even Robert Williams didn't play a whole lot with this group and didn't play a lot at all. Generally speaking, he had a few nice moments, but those types of things are hard to overcome early on, and they're just going to need reps. So if there is one big takeaway, it's that this quick turnaround is going to make things very sloppy, and the beginning of the season is going to be a bunch of ugly basketball.
Let me ask you a couple of rotational questions that I have.
Yeah.
Let's start with Teague. Why is he not the go-to starter for Kemba Walker, or at least last night wasn't the go-to starter for Kemba Walker? I feel like that would be an easy guy to pencil in, and instead Javonte Green got the start.
So you're saying start Smart and Jeff Teague.
Correct. I mean, so you'd start Walker and Smart, right? I think is what they're planning on doing moving forward. No?
Well, maybe. maybe it's hard to say. I mean, by the time Kemba comes back, it might be advisable to start Marcus Smart on the bench, and maybe you start somebody else in that fourth hole. So it would be Kemba, Tatum, Brown, Tice / Tristan Thompson, and I don't know, Grant Williams or somebody else. So it's not necessarily a given that Smart's going to be the starter, because he has value coming off the bench and anchoring a second unit. They're going to need on that second unit someone that really knows how to run that offense and can provide some energy. Now, Smart will finish games for sure, but I think during the course of a game when everybody's fully healthy, I personally would rather see him coming off the bench. But as for starting Teague alongside Smart, I think the reason is because you need somebody off the bench to run a second unit. And for right now, they'll do it without Teague. One thing we saw last night, and it's hard to say whether this is real or not, Peyton Pritchard's game makes you think just at least a hint of, maybe he can give the Celtics something off the bench, and maybe you can start Teague along with Marcus Smart. So basically, I came into this thinking there's no chance of starting Teague. You start him, you keep him on the bench. But as this week and next week rolls along, you want to see what's real, what's a fluke. So I'm a hair more open to it now than I was before yesterday's game.
John Corrales, Mass Live, here on 98.5 The Sports. One more rotational question, and then we can open things up a little bit. Aaron Nesmith, we didn't see him till the second half. Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. That question never got answered today. I think it's more of just a decision that Brad Stevens made, that because these guys, the starters, were going to sit most of the second half, that having Nesmith off the bench to play most of those minutes would be necessary. That's my guess. I have no real firm standing to say this is how it's going to be until we see in the second game what will be the same as game one, what will be different. Nesmith could start on Friday night for all we know. So right now I'm going to guess it was to anchor a second unit and get him a lot of looks while Tatum and Brown and everybody else sat. But we'll see if I'm right or not.
I'm curious what you think of Friday and the matchup on Friday night. We think we're going to see Kyrie and Durant in that game, right? One of the beautiful things about a short preseason is that guys kind of got to play to get ready for the year. So I think we're going to see them both. I guess you never know with Kyrie. Do you think, I feel like there's really only two extremes with Brooklyn, right? There's no real in between. Either it's going to work or it's going to be a disaster. Which camp do you fit into?
I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work at least for the first season. I don't think you get into disaster mode until either late in the season or next season. I think right now we're in the honeymoon phase. I think Kyrie and Kevin Durant have been looking forward to playing together, and this is where a lot of things you kind of overlook things. Like even Kyrie in Boston the first year worked. That was fine. There was no hint of anything. When he announced that he was going to come back at the beginning of the second year, everybody was excited. So I don't think that's going to – if there's anything to fall apart, and I know exactly why you would think it would fall apart, I don't think it starts wearing on people until next season. I think I'm on board with Steve Nash as their head coach. I think that's a good move. I think he speaks their language. I think he speaks Kyrie's language as an elite point guard, as like a sort of quote-unquote artist, as Kyrie likes to say. Ugh. I think the coaching staff, and I know how ridiculous it sounds, but my point is that Nash understands the ridiculousness of it. And I think the coaching staff that they've put together kind of works for this group. I'm a believer in Brooklyn, but I totally see the volatility. I think there's a high volatility factor. So as of right now, I believe, but I would not be surprised if it fell apart either.
I think we all expect James Harden to get traded. It's just a matter of when. Do you think he opens the year with the Rockets, or are we going to get a trade in the next week?
No, I think he opens the year with the Rockets. It's in his best interest to do that. I really think the more likely destination might be Philly. I know he said Brooklyn, but I think Philly has a more attractive type of package. It has a more aggressive front office in Daryl Morey, who worked very well with Harden in Houston. And I just feel like no matter what, if you're Brooklyn, you go to Kyrie and Kevin Durant and say, look, we're pretty deep, and this is COVID times, and this is not the time to erase a bunch of your depth. He's under contract. Let's see how we go. Let's get to the trade deadline and kind of figure things out. I think Philly kind of getting to that trade deadline as well, because they want to see under Doc with a new lineup that kind of fits. I think we saw last night that Philly had a lot better ball movement. They had lineups that made a lot more sense. I know that Embiid wasn't exactly playing full bore, not a surprise, but they have to give themselves an opportunity to see what they have exactly. So Harden, if he keeps doing what he did, then that's just going to reflect poorly on him. And I think Houston has no incentive to trade him right now. It doesn't matter how disruptive he is. They're going to be bad either way. So it doesn't matter.
Maybe they just want to save food for the rest of the team. Maybe that would be a reason to cut down on some costs. I know Tillman Fertitta, as many people have, lost quite a bit here in the shutdown. Quickly before we let you go, and I don't want to shoehorn this in at the end of the interview, but I saw you tweeting about it, and I did not know a lot about this individual. Bruce Seals, he was an ABA professional player, an NBA player, a Dorchester icon. I saw you tweeting about the passing. He's somebody I didn't know a lot about. So maybe for those of us who don't know a lot about what he contributed to the community, if you could say some words on that.
I didn't expect this. This is tough. Bruce Seals, very close to me. He was an assistant coach at Emerson when I played there and was my positional coach. So I got to know him very well. He got me through some hard times. I grew up a lot from a college junior to beyond that. I mean, he's been a huge influence on my life personally. He played in the ABA with Utah, played in the NBA with Seattle, was coached by Bill Russell in Seattle. Then he went overseas. He's a legend at Xavier in New Orleans. He is the coolest guy I've ever met in my life. And then he came to Boston about 1990 and started working at the Boys and Girls Club in Dorchester and was just influential. He was encouraging to kids when he needed to be, tough love when he felt he needed that was necessary. And really from 1990 until his passing now in 2020, he was working with kids directly in Dorchester, was the architect of several programs during the worst times in Dorchester when gang violence was ravaging that area. He helped that community heal. As much as he meant to me personally, and as devastated as I was when I heard the news and still am, he meant so much more to the city of Boston, the community, young children in a neighborhood where many don't get the same chance, the same fair shot as everyone else. He gave them opportunities. He gave them the guidance. He is the definition of an unsung hero. He used basketball to change thousands of lives in Boston. And he is going to be just, when I say sorely missed, it doesn't even do him justice.
So again, I tremendous words there. I didn't mean to shoehorn that in at the
No,
end.
That's okay. I appreciate that you did.
But I know if more people are interested, they can check you out not only at Mats Live, but I know there was a lot of this on Twitter from John Corrales at Reds Army _ John. John, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you down the line.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right. John Corrales, as all our guests, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I got to be honest, I did not know a lot about Bruce Seals. The late Bruce Seals. And it's been interesting reading some of the obituaries and the remembrances or people on Twitter like John or even just listening to John there. Max mentioned him a little bit during the game last night. So he is, I like the way John put it there, like the definition of an unsung hero who contributed a lot to the local community here in Boston. And if you're unfamiliar, as I was, it's worth reading up on some of the remembrances, obituaries, things of that nature over the last 24 to 48 hours.
I talked a little bit about him just now there. Bruce Seals, who's my college assistant coach for 2 years at Emerson, my final 2 years at Emerson. We lost him, as you just heard, this week. I have words to say I'm still not sure what they're going to be, but they're going to come out next. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. All right, NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all this week. They've been going on all week long. You got waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I've done the preview for the Boston Celtics. That was on Tuesday with the Atlantic Division. But go ahead and subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast to get this full week of NBA previews like you're not going to get anywhere else. So as I've said a couple minutes ago, I lost a person very special to me earlier this week when Bruce Seals passed away suddenly at 67 years old. For those who don't know Bruce Seals, and I wouldn't expect you to, Bruce Seals from New Orleans was at Xavier. Great Xavier teams in the 70s. Went on to play in the ABA with Utah, in the NBA with Seattle. He was coached by Bill Russell in Seattle. Then he went and played overseas for a bit. Came back home. In like 1990, he moved to Boston. And he started working at the Dorchester Boys and Girls Club, which was called the Dan Marr back then. And as part of his just passion for basketball, he volunteered as an assistant coach at Emerson. And he was an assistant there for 17 years. I was there for his first two seasons. And I tell you, I've never met a cooler person in my life. I mean, just swag. The man walked in, he had this strut. You could tell instantly. So this is a bad motherfucker over here, man. This is a bad man. And he would coach us. He was the big man coach. And I played a forward spot. So I played a lot down low. And he would just put us through our paces. And I remember him, he called me Marshmallow. Obviously hinting that I was soft. Trying to toughen me up some more. He would let me know when I needed to be tougher, but he was also there for me in some very difficult times that I was having with the team, especially my senior year when I was really hurting. I had been dealing with some chronic tendonitis in my knees, and I was just not doing well. I'd spent my entire career there averaging like 15, 16 points a game and 10 rebounds or so, 11 rebounds or so. And I was having games where I had 5 points and 5 rebounds. I just couldn't move the way I wanted to. It was bad. I was just getting hell from the head coach. And I remember actually saying to Bruce, I was like, man, if this was the NBA, I might ask for a trade. Like that's how bad it is for me right now. And, you know, he really talked me through that tough time and really, really kind of helped me learn how to deal with tough times like that, and taught me how to have the strength to deal with situations where, you know, maybe you didn't have control or maybe somebody was just pissing you off and you thought it wasn't worth, you know, you didn't deserve it. And he really helped me through those times. I remember sitting on the back of the bus with him just gathering around, him telling stories about his time in the NBA and his first first car that he bought once he got his pro money. And he had this big Southern drawl. I could never do his voice, but it was like, we were like, what was your first car? He goes, man, Cadillac, man. Digging the scene with a gangster lean. he was doing with the lean back with that, like mimicking the wrist over the steering wheel, not grabbing the steering wheel, but like the wrist over the steering wheel, like a cool person would drive a car. Oh man. He would just tell us stories and push us when we need to be pushed and help us when we need to be helped. But really the true heroism of what he did was when he went to that Boys and Girls Club. I saw one side of him, and man, he really touched me and helped me a lot and really helped mold me into a real adult. You know, I really went into college as a boy. A kind of scared boy out of high school, not really worldly. And I left college feeling ready for the world. And he was such a big part of that. And then you look at what he did for, what was it, 30 years or so at that Boys and Girls Club in Dorchester. Thousands and thousands of kids go through there, and he's running basketball programs, and he's running community programs through basketball to help kids deal with things. And I think about the little things that he helped me through, and it's nothing compared to all of the young lives he touched every day, without fanfare, without city proclamations, without headlines in the paper. And I didn't realize it at the time. He was just Coach Seals to me. Not just, but like, I didn't realize exactly how important he was to the city of Boston until later. But Bruce Seals used basketball for what I believe, for what it was made for, to bring people together, to show that, you know, if you work together as a team, if you work hard, if you do your job and you do it well, you're going to do okay. Now, you got to respect everybody that's with you. You got to trust everybody that's with you. And it doesn't matter who the hell that person is next to you. You just got to trust that that person's doing your job. And you doing their job and doing it to the best of their abilities, and you do yours. And he used those lessons to teach us at Emerson, to teach kids in Dorchester, to teach everybody. He used basketball for its greatest purpose, for building something in the community, for maximizing people's potential, for communicating and connecting with someone that you might never have connected with before. But when I think of basketball and I think of maybe walking into a Boys and Girls Club or a YMCA or some run when I was older, and you just grab five people, four other people, and I don't know who the hell these people are, But you know what? This is my squad. This is who I got. And doesn't matter who you are, if we do this right, we're going to be okay. And by the end of it, maybe you can run the table a little bit. Maybe you can stay on the floor for 4 or 5 games. And you know what? One of the best feelings in the world is walking into a gym where nobody knows you, running the floor, holding that court for 4 or 5 games, and at the end, you walk out with everybody's respect. That's, and all it is hard work, dedication, trust, and an understanding. We're on a team. And I didn't know you before, and I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background is. I don't know your religion. I don't know your sexual orientation. I don't know any of that stuff. And right now, I don't care, because you know what I want to do? I want to hold this court. Those are the lessons that Bruce Seals taught so many people. There was toughness. He came from a tough place, New Orleans. Growing up in the 50s and 60s. I mean, he had to learn some tough lessons. I don't know what to say. I don't have a lot of regrets in life, but one of them right now is the fact that I didn't get to see him more recently. Me and a couple of friends of mine who may listen to this podcast, I know they listen to the podcast, so Ken and Gabe, talking about you guys, we would do a fairly regular, we called it a big man brunch. Now I'm 6'5", and I'm the smallest of the three. So we would go and sit somewhere and order a bunch of drinks and have a huge brunch befitting about, what is about 20, 22 feet worth of people. And we just get louder and louder and louder. And one day recently, fairly recently, we said, man, we should get Coach Seals on one of these big man brunches. He's bigger than all of us. We need to get Coach Seals on a big man brunch. I think Gabe texted him. He said, he's in. And I was so excited. And, you know, schedules didn't connect. And, you know, I was busy and someone else was busy. And then COVID hits. And we never got that brunch. We never got that one more time. So, I never got the chance to say it to you one last time, but thank you, Coach. Man, I love you. I want to thank you all for indulging me with that. I really appreciate that. Tomorrow, I'll be back with a mailbag podcast and discussion a little bit of the final preseason game. Only two. So if you're new, I hope you subscribe. You regular listeners, I really appreciate the ratings, the good reviews, and sharing the podcast. I appreciate it when you tell people that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.